listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to Dave's Good Vibration Station with Dave Cohen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to LA Talk Radio Channel 1. To call in, dial 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815.
Gentlemen, brothers and sisters of this beautiful world, I'm your host, Davey Crockett, and this is Dave's Good Vibration Station on LATalkRadio.com, world's most listened to internet talk radio station. Listen up, people. First of all, ahomatakweyase, namaste, and ongamo gurudev amo. What does that mean? I have no idea, but it sounds good. I'm just playing. What that means is... follow your heart. Home is where the heart is. Ongamo gurudevamo is some chant to call upon your higher self. It's really cool, though, and it's awesome. That's what we're going to be talking about on the show today. Number one, first things first, I want to invite and introduce two amazing individuals into the vibration station bubble. We have Bridget Bovey. How are you doing, sister?
Hello. I'm doing very well.
It is such
thank
a
you.
Pleasure. Along with Bridget, we have the one and only Lily Lambert. How are you doing, sister?
I'm doing great, thanks. How are you doing?
High vibrations.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm feeling good.
Thanks for having us here today.
No, it's a pleasure. As you know, we are the show that talks about anything and everything to raise your vibration. And what we mean by that is every thought that you think, every emotion that you feel, it's not just going into the abyss of nothingness. It's not like you're just feeling it and then it goes away and it doesn't have an effect on anything. No, it definitely has an effect. Just as much as you putting your hand on a doorknob and turning it, just as much as your body digesting food, just as much as you needing water to survive, the thoughts that you think are actually a product of what, number one, you're experiencing, number two, how you feel, and number three, who you are, right? So I brought these two lovely and amazing women into the studio today to talk about just that. Extremely high-vibing individuals. First of all, I'd like to let the listeners know who we are talking to. Lily is an extremely successful artist. along with, right? Totally.
Yeah, I love
that. No,
yeah.
You're awesome.
Throw
you're
it
awesome,
out
sister.
There,
yeah.
Project it.
And
yes.
Extremely successful. It's true. No, she absolutely is. Not only is she an artist, she has her own perfume, right?
Yeah, I have a fragrance company.
You have a fragrance company.
Yes, and
she has her own fashion.
I have a jewelry company that I've had for 23
fashion,
years.
Fashion. Yeah, okay, fashion. Jewelry. Okay,
just
dig it.
A light dabble in fashion. Not
okay,
like
okay.
100%.
I'm okay.
Not, it's just not my thing.
You're
you know
like,
what I mean?
Yeah.
But I like the process of creation. So that's
beautiful.
Sort of, you know.
I love it.
Yeah.
So another reason why I feel like it's so important that you're here on the show today is because a big aspect of the Vibration Station is letting people know that they can be successful, whatever that may be to you. They can be the person that they've always dreamed of. They can have, you know, the money and have the lifestyle by doing what they love to do. As long as you keep it, right, positive, keep it light, like light, L-I-G-H-T, in your head. Mm-hmm. And...
Well, and you're brave enough.
And you're brave enough.
You're brave enough to, like, not consider what other people are thinking and feeling about you. Because I think that, you know, that's the primary thing that stops people.
Yeah.
What their parents think, what
totally.
They should be doing. You need to go to school. You need to do this. You need to do that. And it's like, you know what? No. That's
yeah.
just, that might not be your path. You know what I mean?
Totally.
You're going to do whatever... If you're brave enough to look outside of that and not consider like, okay, this person's going to think this or I'm not going to be this way, or we're sort of more stopped by our own thoughts.
Totally.
We're our own worst enemy, truly.
Yes.
Yeah, and our mind is like, know? It sort
totally.
Of runs the show, unfortunately, you know?
No, it's
so,
absolutely true.
Yeah, I think it's just more about like, you know, being able to train ourselves in our thought process to recognize those negative things that continually come up,
yes.
you know, the I can't do it, I'm not going to succeed, you know what I mean? Those
yes.
sort of thoughts and just literally like melting them away.
Totally.
And going, no, that's not true.
That's not me.
No. But yeah. but most people are not even present in the moment to recognize that in the moment that they're having that negative thought
right.
in order to even say, hey, you know what? No, that's not true. Or check in with themselves. They just sort of like... One negative thought after the next.
Totally.
Boom, 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 boom.
It's like a snowball effect, right? Because like once you start getting down on yourself, like it's like hits. It's like you're like chiseling at it. You know what I mean? I've read a book actually on exactly just that. How you can start off with a pure thought, right? An idea, a pure good positive intention, and that initial thought, that initial excitement, that drive, the purity of that is unstoppable, truly. Mm-hmm. If you stuck with that same excitement and that same vibration that you first had when you felt that, like that split second before that thought slipped in of like, oh, well, I don't have enough money.
Yeah. And then
what
else got in the way then?
Right,
what
totally.
What got in the way? The thoughts of other people in your brain all of a sudden.
Totally.
What's this person's going to think about this? What's this person? I mean, if you think about it, every day you wake up and you get dressed, who do you get dressed for? Yourself.
Okay. It's so true.
On my days that I'm the most comfortable, I'm up and I'm out in my painter's pants, in a tank top. Like, I literally just don't care.
Yes.
Okay? But
yes.
if I'm going to go on a meeting or if I have to meet a client, I'm getting dressed for them. Okay? my day and my moment is no longer about me. And being true to myself. It's like, I know how you're going to perceive me. Or I might just even be projecting what you're going to perceive in me, which
so
is
crazy.
Creating that reality. Do you
this
know what
is,
I mean?
This is why we had Lily on the show.
Which is unfair, though. True. Because you think about it, and it's like, that's your own projection of what you think that person is going to think about you.
Right.
When it's like, how do you even know that?
Totally.
That's your crazy-ass mind going nuts.
Yes. Like, if anything, maybe that person would appreciate it more if you were being true to yourself.
Exactly.
For example, I was at, was it Wood Ranch?
Yeah. Oh, I love that place.
It's a good place. A few nights ago, and man, our server was just like, hello, welcome to Wood Ranch. How are you doing this evening? And like, I wanted to be like, dude.
Like, where'd you go?
Like,
where's the
is
real
this you? Really who you, like, do you go home, you get in your car, well, hello, Toyota Corolla. Like,
yeah.
How are you today?
I'm going to like, brush not, my teeth.
No, yeah, like, you're in the shower. Wash my armpit. No, you know what? It's, I would much rather the kid be like, What's up, bro?
Yeah, but do you really think that he wants to be working at that restaurant?
No.
And that's exactly
man.
Why he has a persona. You know, because
maybe
that
until
isn't
he gets through
who,
it.
Well, that's not even who he is.
Right.
So he's got to step into a different, you know, a different vibration in order to deal with you. Right?
Word.
So because if he was really wanting, he'd be like, what's up, dude? What do you need? You know
yes,
what I mean? You
yes,
want a lemonade?
Like,
you want an Arnold Palmer? Like, what's going on here?
Dude, I don't really got time for this, man.
Right.
Like,
yeah, like, honestly, I can't wait. I got 4 more hours left. How long are you guys going to take? You need a minute? Okay. You know, dude. I would so much rather somebody be like that than, and you're saying it for a dude. Imagine like girls too. All of a sudden, this little voice all of a sudden.
Yes.
Very gentle. Hi. And you're like, I know you don't talk like that. You know what I mean? You can see it.
Yeah.
You can
totally.
Feel it.
Like in 5 minutes, you're gonna be on your break having a cigarette, being like, oh, this is like, oh, check out that lady. Like.
Oh, you know, there's nothing more than, you know, the thing that's so, there's nothing more frustrating than that, for me at least, you know, when I see somebody not being who they are. You know, because it's like you're doing a disservice to somebody, whatever it was that created us. Whether
yeah.
we came from the stars, whether we came from God or we came from Krishna, whoever, whatever anyone wants to believe.
Yeah,
okay?
Totally.
It doesn't matter. But the point is that we were created in some form of a perfection.
Yes.
And the moment that you abandon that perfection, mm-hmm. it's a disservice to the person who created or the thing that created you. And it's sort of like saying I hate to say this because I don't want to swear, but it's sort of saying like, F you.
You can, yeah,
you know?
That's fine.
That's, you know, you didn't do a good enough job.
Totally. We're not regulated by the FCC,
oh,
so
okay.
we're
not. Well, I also don't want to
no,
sound like
you're
a sailor.
So kind.
But,
yes,
you know.
Hey, right there. No.
No, I am a lady. You know.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Hello.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, anyways, yeah.
Wonderful. No, touche. This is exactly what we're going for here.
Yeah, because there is just nothing better than authenticity.
There's
and,
not.
You know, and the funny thing is there was a story. We were speaking a little bit before we all came on air.
Yes.
And,
yes, we were.
You know, there was a couple stories that we were deciding, and I thought, you know, I'm not going to tell them because I don't want to retell them because then it doesn't seem authentic.
Yeah.
And this isn't actually one of them, but I just want to throw something
yeah.
out there.
Cool,
that,
I love it.
You know, it's like the authenticity thing. The reason why, bringing back to what we were talking about, people like living their dreams and actually being brave and going after what they want. When you think about the consumerism, right?
Right.
In our society and the things and the products that are created, okay? They're created based on actual moments, authentic moments, okay? And one that I have in mind, let's say you're Brad Pitt.
Okay.
And you're sitting there on in your backyard, you know, with the kids and you're painting, okay? And
yeah.
some lady from W Magazine's going to come and interview you and take some pictures, right? And here she comes running up the lawn and all of a sudden, you know, like you're wiping your hands on your pants, right? Cuz like he's just being Brad,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So he wipes his hands on his pants, and then the lady comes down, and he sits down, and he talks to her, and she's sort of looking probably at him and his thing. And then all of a sudden, you know, the photographer's taking pictures of him. Then there's a picture of him on the front of W Magazine, and
right.
there he is wearing, like, these jeans with yellow paint on his pants, okay? Every company in America is now going to make pants with yellow paint on them that looks like it's, like, this authentic moment.
It's
but the reality is you can't package an authentic moment.
No.
It's just, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And the thing
course.
That they're wanting,
yeah.
I want to be like that. And it's like, no, you don't want to be like that. You just want to be you.
You want to have your own authenticity.
Yes, exactly. And if it means, you know, smearing ravioli on your shirt,
yes.
you know, and that's
yes.
like what it is in the moment, then great.
Totally.
But the thing is, the sad thing is that these companies will go create this thing. Everybody, these kids will be like, oh, okay, this is what's accepted. Cool.
Right.
We're
going to
go out and buy these jeans. But shit, I still don't feel cool. Well, why?
Whoa.
Because you're chasing a monster.
Whoa.
Right?
Yeah.
You got to jump back in.
Yes.
And figure out what you think is cool. Like, there's nothing better. I was telling Bridget earlier, when you see these kids in the airport, you know, I love, like, the homeless kids in the airport with, like, a weird shell in their hair. And like,
totally.
You know,
I
yeah,
love it.
The
yeah.
dreadlocks and the whole thing, because
yeah.
they are more real than the majority of people that are surrounding
anybody
them.
Else then.
Oh, yeah.
And they're also like the ones that are looked at differently and
yeah,
not accepted.
They're like they're the weird ones.
They're
yeah.
the
right?
weird.
Like, dude,
they're the street kids.
Who's fooling who?
Yeah,
right?
The fringe. And meanwhile, they're sitting there writing poetry in some like journal that's brilliant.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
That like actually, if like hypothetically speaking, if that were to be heard by the people that are judging him,
yeah,
it could be
shame on you.
Shifting,
know what I mean?
Right? It could be like yeah.
Shifting.
So, wow.
Yeah, so I would invite anybody who is listening to this, you know, to go out and do something different than what they normally would do. The next time you sit and you judge somebody,
yes,
whatever it is,
yes,
you know, do something different.
Totally.
If you're a guy in a business suit, sit down and talk to the random guy at Starbucks who's playing the guitar with his dog.
Yeah.
Don't feel like, you know, so stiff that you can't be
I'm
free.
In a different class.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? You're like, dude.
It's so crazy.
What's a class, bro? You know what I mean? Like that. I feel you.
Yeah.
I feel you, sister.
Yeah.
I want to go off of exactly what we're talking about. So let's say, hypothetically speaking, right, let's say I'm the guy in the business suit.
Gotcha.
And I see the man, the dude, he's like, you know, 18, maybe 19-year-old kid.
Yeah.
Jamming out on his little mini amp that he has attached to, like, his hip. You know what I mean? Like, wow, 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 wow. Got, like, dreadlocks. He's wearing, like,
Grateful Dead t-shirt.
Grateful Dead, yeah, totally. That's funny. I was gonna, so like, you know, I before I even take a second look, right? I judge. Right? I'm not saying I do, because
we
all do. But what I'm saying is like I'm being the stereotype, right?
Okay.
So I'm the man in the business suit, blah, blah, blah. I'm on my break at work. I'm just going to get my coffee because I'm getting tired throughout the day and I have to go back to my office and do things. It's like this kid's like, you know, just on the side. I don't even take a second look. I don't even like, oh, this guy. You know, I judge. I'm like, oh, you know, whatever. I'm not going to give him change, you know. I'm busting out 50s. Oh, I don't want to break a 50 for my coffee, but I can't give this guy $3 because he's going to go spend it on drugs.
Oh,
right? Okay. So here's the thing. Little to that man's knowledge, the man in the business suit, little to my knowledge, that kid is me. That kid is a part of me, is an aspect of me. And the fact that I naive enough, to say the least, to not even give him a second chance, not even give him a chance, a first chance, to already stereotype, to already put him in a category. You, my friend, are putting yourself in a category by putting him in a category. You are categorizing yourself as disconnected.
Right, well, he's a reflection, like, right?
Yeah,
a reflection of you, but it's like, who's to say what that reflection is? We don't know what part of that reflection.
Yes.
It could be the reflection he hates that little kid, because that's the reflection in him that he hates himself for abandoning that freedom.
Because he always wanted,
You know, and being it, he always wanted to be that free, and then he sort of hates, you know, is like, hate is a strong word, but, you know, resents this kid that's there because he represents what he doesn't have.
Totally.
And he hates that part of himself that, like, let's sold out.
What?
You know? So, I mean, that's just, everybody is a reflection of ourselves.
Right.
And I think it's, whether or not you're willing to take responsibility for that is a whole nother thing.
Totally.
You know? And, really looking at, it requires you to really dig deep within inside yourself.
It does.
In order to be able to see all those facets of you. Negative, positive, everything. You know, just be honest. Because we can be really honest about things if we want to be.
Right.
If we're not afraid,
Not afraid.
Yeah.
Yes.
If we're not afraid. Because the moment that you sort of speak it, it just sort of loses its, you know, it loses its power. Like with Bridget, you know, we had a story that we were talking about, an experience, and, you know, share a little bit, Bridget, about that.
Yeah,
you
let's
know?
Hear this. I'm Dio Double Down.
Okay. Yeah.
Sister Bridget.
It was about something like holding on to something and like how... So I had something negative happen to me, and I was holding on to it all of my life. You know, it was inside of me. It was like this rock, something inside of me, and all of my energy was surrounding it and surrounding it and surrounding it, and no one ever knew about it. So there was a time where finally, like, I was talking to Lily, and I felt in a comfortable, high vibrating state where I was like, I said it out loud. And finally, for me to express it out loud and really just let it go, it seemed to just vanish. And like, as deep and dark and scary as it was for me for so many years, just saying it out loud to myself was one of the most beautiful things I could do.
Wow.
And we've been talking about, like, when you have a feeling, when you have any kind of thought, just say it.
Totally.
And there's no holding back, because the only one that's holding back is yourself. You're the only one that's going to change how you think about it.
That's amazing.
You know?
Bridget, no, that's beautiful.
Yeah, there's
number
freedom
one,
in sharing, you know?
Yes, yes.
And ever since that moment, ever since saying out loud, say whatever, the two sentences it was, or I talked for 5 minutes, after expressing that, my life has opened up and changed, and now I am, like, completely changed by just expressing one thought, one feeling of my own.
But that's wait, so I want to make one thing clear. Don't just go out and share with just anybody. Okay?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
There are people in the world, obviously, have enough good sense to figure out who it is that you can open yourself up
definitely.
To. Because this happened to be something that was very personal to her.
Totally.
And, you know, in that I have a good connection with her, and I'm not a judging person in that way.
Yeah.
I just wanted to hold the space for her to go through whatever she went through.
Yeah.
Cry, tears, whatever wanted to happen, and then that's it.
Totally.
It's like no more mystery.
Oh, my
power.
God.
Like,
and I think you, like, know in your heart, you can feel when you're ready to express these things and, like, who the people you're going to share them with.
Yes.
You know? And
absolutely.
Even saying, maybe just saying it out loud to yourself.
Oh, yeah. And not only that, but you know what? That
That's
brings
good.
Up another thought, too, is that, you know, when you share something, like, my dad's an actor, okay?
Okay.
And
cool.
when he would go on auditions, you know, I'd always be asking him for different things, like, oh, well, did you get it? And he would never tell me anything about any of it. And even if it was a project, whatever it was. And I think about it now, and, like, you know, we've talked about it. I'm like, well, why is it that you never say anything, you know? And he's like, because I don't want to take responsibility for the people. Once I tell them what it is, they're having their own private thoughts about me, about him, mm-hmm. right? So it's like, let's tell you, I'm going to go do this show. They're thinking he's never going to get it.
Wow.
Then there's another girl being like, well, what? He's not good enough for that role or whatever. So-and-so would be so much better, right? There's all these people. And so collectively,
wow.
all the thoughts in the universe, not only the people that you surround yourself with, the people that you share stuff
right.
with, that it's going to affect the outcome.
Automatically.
Okay? Right.
Yeah.
Because if you have, you know, 20 different people and 3 thinking positive and 17 thinking negative, there you go.
Yeah.
Might as well
you
not
have,
share that.
You have an intention set.
Right.
Right.
Well,
and
you don't want to take... you have to take responsibility if you share something with somebody. You're
right.
the one that told them. Okay?
Totally.
So
yeah.
don't... I would be really careful when it comes to things of, like, your heart and, you know, meaningful things like what Bridget was going through. Make sure that you talk to somebody who doesn't have, you know... It could care less, really.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
I was just holding a space for her.
Yes.
Right.
I'm sad that she's crying, but I'm not, like, judging her about it. I could
right.
do
right. totally.
And I think I felt comfortable in that state, you know? I could have told to many people, but, like, they would have took it on and made it, whatever it was, it
yeah.
was mine.
Totally.
And it was not yours.
Totally.
And telling people, you know, like, say I told my mom or something, it would just flip and turn into something that was not what it was mine
wow.
anymore. So what Lily did was just hold a space for me, and it was, like, a non-judgmental space to just let it happen. And after, it just kind of floated away. It was just done for me. And
that's so
that'll
beautiful.
still be there, like, forever. I'll still remember it, but it's not like it was before. It's been let go.
That's so cool. That's so cool. I want to say that there was, I had the pleasure of interviewing this man. His name was Frank. Have you guys ever, for listeners out there, you guys ever heard of Cafe Gratitude?
Yeah.
Beautiful. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Super great raw vegan restaurant. Check it out. Super good food. The guys at Cafe Gratitude, it started in San Francisco. There's this man, his name is Frank. Frank, at the time, was like 400 pounds or something, like super, super overweight. He was, like, you know, snorting cocaine, like smoking cigarettes, smoking weed. Like, he used to, like, smoke heroin. Like, he was, like, just drugs, like self-destructive. Like, he walks in on a whim one day, right? I promise this has substance.
I've heard this. It's good.
It's cool. Frank sits down at this restaurant, and the thing about Cafe Gratitude is their menu is questions. Their menu for the day is they ask you a question. They don't have, like, you know, oh, raw
the chicken with
kombucha
this.
with the
right.
you know, no. It's like, the question was for Frank, what do you want to do before you die? That was his meal question. Frank's answer was, well, I want to fall in love, but that's never going to happen because how can somebody love me if I don't love myself? That was his response. Mm-hmm. Whoa. Right? So these guys, they're super tapped into spirit. Like, they understand the fundamentals of, you know, helping another human being, the pureness that comes out of that. So they see this man, Frank, use this as an opportunity to change his life. They say, okay, Frank, you want to fall in love? We're going to make your dreams come true. 90 days, they fed him for free. They, like, would wake up with him. Like, they did this whole thing. Long story short, there's this part of the documentary where, now, Frank has a younger brother that he was not very kind to growing up. There's this part of the documentary where he's getting a colonoscopy. Okay?
Okay.
As that is, that's super cleansing. It's like ultra cleansing. And for the people out there that, I mean, don't know what a colonoscopy is, they clear you out from the backside. And after the colonoscopy, he like goes into the changing room or whatever, and he talks about this pain that he's had like in his back his whole life, and he starts crying, starts just bawling crying, and he's like, I'm so sorry for like hitting my brother. He socked his brother in the back or something, right where Frank felt his pain, mm-hmm. right where Frank was hurting for like 50 years or something. Is it like, ever, not 50, like probably like 40 years. He was like really young when he like punched his brother, but like really hurt his brother and emotionally scarred Frank too. Mm-hmm. He felt the same pain in the same spot that he punched his brother. So he starts bawling, crying like, I'm so sorry. Like, you know, just total forgiveness for oneself, right? All of a sudden, like afterwards, like you see his face, he's like, and like, he's like, oh my God. Like, he's like, it's gone. In that second, this pain, that, and like he was talking about, he's like taking painkillers for the pain. He's got on prescriptions. He's taking medications, like all these different things to, oh, this pain in my back. And like, you know, he's seen chiropractors, blah, blah, blah. And this whole time, it's been like, you know, he socked his brother when he was like 18 or something.
Was
like,
this after the 90-day program, though?
This is in the middle of it.
Oh, in the
this
middle.
Is like
okay.
Totally like smack dab, like, Frank, we're cleaning you up, man. Like, here's some wheatgrass. You know, here's like...
Because here's the thing, when you think about it, you know, our bodies are, all the parts of our bodies, our organs are related to different emotions,
they are.
Right?
They are.
And there could be a cause that whatever it was, maybe it was his kidney or whatever, and that sort of pain was related to him overeating, okay, in order to get that way. And so in the process of him cleansing that, just the awareness of that pain could be even, you know, his awareness. Yeah, because it's letting go of that emotion. And then that allowed for the next. That's why I asked if it was before or after.
Yeah, totally.
Because then it would allow for him to sort of really release that. You know what I mean? But it wasn't just because he really. I mean, all those things are we're all interconnected.
They're all,
that
right.
Way.
Totally. Yeah. Like, it's all this. Like,
when you're willing to let it go, then all of a sudden, boom.
And
there
it's
you
willing,
are.
Gone. It's willing to go.
Well, did he like, fall in love or what? How it happened?
Yo, yes, he did. Check this out. The man.
Frank
Aloni. Like, after I got the pleasure of meeting the man, he came on the show and we interviewed him. He's like skinny. He's like so fit, man. He's also, which is so cool, he's like one of those people. I could feel him in the room. Like, I knew that there was, before I even met the dude, this was like when I met him. I could feel him in the room of people, and I didn't even turn around. Like, he was behind me, and I was like, whoa. There was like a powerhouse.
Someone's
in this
here.
Like, somebody is here. He like turns around, and it was like, poof. He's like, hey, I'm Frank. I was like, whoa. Like, you're the man, Frank. And like, his beautiful wife walked, or not wife, girlfriend at the DIA, girlfriend. Walks up and like she's this like beautiful blonde woman who like is totally like totally hot for him, you know what I mean? And like they're totally in love. Like,
that's awesome. But one thing I want to
backtrack
on is the fact that when I was like, is he in love? And you're like, yeah, he found somebody. He's totally skinny. FYI, you don't need to be skinny in order to find love.
Oh,
but it's
totally,
about, you know, totally. or meet some hot blonde woman. I'm dark and brunette over here.
So funny.
You know, I think it's important that people know it doesn't matter how much you weigh.
Oh, of course.
Because this is sort of
God,
a society in terms of like people are really, really interested in appearances here. Okay,
totally.
In LA, we're in LA here.
Yeah.
You know? So, but I think it's important that people realize it's just
it's just he was loving himself.
He was. And Frank's goal, the reason why I said that, Frank's goal was to be
to
like
be thinner and thinner. Whatever. Right,
right.
That was his
thing. That was his thing.
Yeah.
And I know, like, I have dear friends of mine, like, who literally the nicest, the coolest, most awesome dudes in the world. Like, I unfortunately, they don't live down here. But when they did, we would hang out, like, all the time, every day. And, like, they are, you know, they're like, they have a lot of love to give. Do you know what I mean? And they're, like, but they're totally cool with it. They're like, dude, this is me.
Yeah.
I'm like,
I got a lot of love.
Man.
Listen, there's nobody
in
the world.
I love you, bro.
There's nobody in the world like this lady over here.
You know what I mean? Bridge is awesome, dude.
In terms of confidence level.
Oh, Bridge is the sister, dude. No. Yeah.
It's so much. It's just so much reflection for me because I tell you, growing up in this city and being a woman, and, you know, there's so much that, in terms of reflection as we're talking about, you know, it's intense, the judgment here. If you're not a certain way, all these little girls that are 11 and 12 years old, I heard talking the other day in Starbucks about being on a diet. And I was like, are you serious? I stopped this girl and I'm like, honey, let me explain something to you. Do you see this picture in this magazine? And she goes, yeah. And I said, all of this is airbrushed. Okay. Do you see this? You see this here? This is cut out. Okay. The reality of what's being fed to even, I mean, I don't want to say just girls. It's for men, too.
Totally.
But
oh,
in
yeah.
In terms of these things are so unimportant. So yes, unimportant. Okay, you're attracted to people. You feel that physical chemistry. It's not only physical. It's a what do you call that?
Energy.
It's energy.
Yeah, right. It's energy. It has its,
I was going to say metaphysical. But
Totally.
Yeah, I mean, it's
it is metaphysical.
Yeah,
it is.
Metaphysical.
Totally, yeah.
So, you know, it's like this is a hard thing for people here.
Right.
In this city, and it's really unfair, you know,
we're just surrounded by it. We're surrounded by these stereotypes and everything, and you know, through my life, like I don't know, I've come to a place where I've never let myself like go there. I've never let myself
care.
I care. I'm not perfect. I'm not like I don't care about anything, but you know, like I'm not at the exact weight or the exact look that I want to be, but you know, when I put on a bathing suit, I fucking walk out there and it's game time. Like I'm not going to hide. Cause what me and Lily were talking about is once that your weight and with your appearance and everything, the only person that's going to really change it is yourself. If I want to lose weight and I think I'm overweight, I'm the only one that's going to change who I look.
Totally.
So me hiding in a bathing suit, It's all me. And I'm sorry, I have to go back inside myself and I will change it because nobody else is going to do it for me.
Well, that's where we pick up of taking responsibility for oneself.
Totally.
Which is a huge thing. But in that same comment, I want to say when I first met Bridget's mom, she and, you know, I hope your mom doesn't mind me saying this, but like after we became friends like a couple weeks, I came over to her house. She was walking around naked in her tennis shoes.
That's awesome.
Or like cleaning the pool.
That's awesome.
And
I walked in. I'm walking up the little stairs. I'm all in nature, feeling blissed out, you know, and I'm looking and there's this like naked lady cleaning the pool. And I was like, hey, Karen, how are you? And she's like, hey, you know, so comfortable.
Love it.
Okay.
Love it.
That was such a deep reflection for me. In terms of like not in a negative way, but like how I was not comfortable with myself to that degree. And I looked at her mom, and her mom is not perfect by any means, like, you know, jiggly like all of us, a little bit of cellulite, whatever, but she's tan, so it's at least tan.
You're so funny.
A little tan cellulite, nothing better than that. But, you know, seriously, tan cellulite looks way better than white. So it's just true. But I would walk in and I would see her and I was just like, I was so mesmerized by her confidence and her comfortability in her body. Mm-hmm. And her lack of judgment from her, you know, with herself,
totally.
Spoke to me really deeply. And I was like, you know, just to be able to walk around and be myself and not put a towel over my butt or wear some sort of a sweater that covers your butt or, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Is an important, you know, it was amazing for me to see that in this woman. Totally. And albeit she's in her 50s, right? So eventually, like, as we get older, we just do become more comfortable. We do embrace ourselves.
Yeah.
But I think that's the thing is, like, my mom, like, as you saw in that confidence in her, like, I grew up with that. I grew up as, like, watching this woman be this beautiful, amazing, confident person.
Totally.
And throughout my life, I'm just into it. Like, I'm the same kind of way. Like,
you have the DNA for it.
I do. Like, yeah. I went to college, you know, and my roommate, like, I would be nude, and I was just accepting and loving of whatever I am at the moment. And she looked at me in a way like, she was like, why are you always naked? Like, what's going on? And I was like, I'm sorry. I'm just accepting of who I am and how I am. And through our year of living together, I think she got something out of me that she saw a reflection, and she started to really accept and love herself and her body. And it was an amazing thing for me. It was an amazing thing to see a little bit of me influence into somebody else in this way. Just like my mom and Lily's situation.
Yeah, and then not only that, but like I remember being a kid, you know, when you're like 8 and 9 years old, or at least I remember this, and there would be kids that would come into school that would be, you know, the new kid. And I'd always end up befriending the new kid because I knew what that felt like.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'd go to, let's say, to the beach or whatever. And I always remember just observing, and they would never be from here. They're like always from like Oklahoma or Texas or Idaho or Iowa, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And they had this tremendous freedom in who they were. I remember looking at that at the beach. But the people that I grew up with here in California, they didn't. They were sort of hiding and insecure and like obsessed with like, you know, okay, let's.
Because it's like Star World. Everyone is a star.
Yeah, it is Star World. And I would remember thinking like, God, I want that freedom so bad.
Right.
And when I was 29 years old, I left California. I moved to Oregon, bought a house up there.
That's awesome.
I was there for seven years.
That's so cool.
But here's the thing. I had to leave California in order to be able to find myself and embrace myself that way.
Right.
Because I was in a place where like being in a flannel was considered dressy. Okay. The people in Oregon are not concerned with the newest, latest jeans.
Yeah.
They're concerned about how their tomatoes are growing.
Yeah.
Okay. and their money that's being spent is not being spent in this frivolous sort of stuff.
Totally.
Right? It's about improving their lives and bringing people together, and it's just a different reality.
Right.
But then you come here and like I said, these kids, they have this tremendous freedom, and I'm like, I want that so bad. I want that so bad. And I think me, myself, okay, I'm being honest about it, but how many girls do you think, young girls that there are all over the world that feel this way?
Right.
That have not been able to, like, they're picking themselves apart based on television programs that are totally BS anyway.
Totally.
And magazines and sort of things like this. You, no matter what, whoever it is that you're out there, if you're sitting in your bedroom by yourself right now and you're listening to this, you are a magical human being. Everybody has to know that. You have something, you, and when I say you, yes, I mean you, whoever it is, you have something that nobody else in the world has. Your brain, your heart, your understanding of things. You are unique.
Yes.
You know? So it doesn't matter. Everybody has something to bring to the table. We're all sort of uncovering our treasures as we go along. But don't ever compare yourself with people. Because nobody is the same.
Totally.
And when you compare is when you start to say, oh, better than and this than, you know, less than and
that
all that.
That creates
all
the separation.
Bullshit.
That creates this idea of you know, well, I'm better than you. You're, you know, that creates the whole, you know, feud between the man with the kid with the guitar and then like the man in the suit. Like if it wasn't, you know, if it wasn't for the suit, if it wasn't for that, like that projection of judgment, that idea of like, you know, well, you have dreadlocks, like, you know, like, which. Yeah,
but that may have even been a wrong thought.
Right.
How do we know that kid wasn't the son of some famous guitarist that was living in Malibu?
Right.
And he was just.
Hanging out, like.
Right. And this guy is going and projecting that he's this homeless person who needs help. And meanwhile, there he is, and he gets into, like, you know, some Maserati, like, 20 minutes later. And
yeah.
That's why you have to give, no matter who it is, that your time, because you don't know who anybody is behind what they look like or how they act.
And how do you even know if they're even of this planet?
Sorry.
It's true. But you know what? There are always people. I remember being a kid and walking around. I lived in Santa Monica, and we lived on 4th and Georgina. So there was that promenade down there. There was always homeless people walking up there, okay? How come all the homeless people have the most beautiful eyes is what I want to know, okay? They're always so crystal clear, a lot of them, and they look at you. And most people walk by and they don't even acknowledge. As far as I'm concerned, even if you don't have anything for them, at least look them in the eye because you're giving them the acknowledgement of being a human being, okay? And if anything, I think whatever God is, whatever anybody perceives this to be, I feel like I'm in my own personal little world of judgment, right? That if I'm not acknowledging those people that are there, then, you know, I'm not doing my own work.
You're not.
That's a reflection of me. And I can be there in 20 minutes.
Wow.
We don't know. Do you know what I mean?
Totally.
So it's like, acknowledge that. And these people, there was a guy down in the Marina Del Rey. There was this place called the, the Tin Cow or something like that. The Cow's End.
Okay.
Do you know it?
I've heard of it.
It's down
on
Washington, down off of Venice Boulevard. And I remember sitting there. I was young. I was your age, Bridget, like 19. And I was writing in my little journal or whatever. And this guy comes up and he sits down and he started talking to me. And he was a homeless guy. And his name was Bill. I remember his name was Bill Tipton. And I wrote about him in my little journal.
Bill, if you're listening.
Yeah, Bill. I don't know if Bill's even alive now, but he basically told me, you know, he had, which was really interesting. He posed for Salvador Dali.
Okay.
In one of his paintings.
Oh, okay.
And he carried around this little paper, you know, like a little cutout from a newspaper of a picture of him and the picture that Dali had done. And it was like his claim to fame, the one thing that he was sort of holding on to.
Okay.
And, or I don't want to say claim to fame, but it was something obviously that meant something to him. He
right.
carried it with him all the way from wherever he was from. And I said, you know, are you homeless? You know, and he was like, well, this is a choice.
Right.
And I said, you know, like, and he goes, I just want to fall asleep under the stars with my friends. And I was like, oh my goodness gracious. I mean, honestly, you couldn't have touched me deeper. When I heard that, I was just, you know, that's what it is about. Okay. It's about getting back to nature.
Wow.
Getting away from
getting
all these.
Getting back to our roots.
Yes. Back to our roots. Because here was this man, and again, people would judge him for what he was.
Of course.
And then all of a sudden, let's say, you know, you find out that he's the guy who's posed for Salvador Dali.
Yeah.
Oh, well, let's give him a few little rings up here. Okay. So now he's a little bit better.
Yeah.
Okay. That's such bullshit.
That's such
all
bullshit.
Of it. Okay. But meanwhile, like I said, everybody's got these unique, special things.
Totally.
But if had I not talked to him, I would have never known this.
Right.
And you know what? When I'm 65 years old, I want to fall asleep on the beach with my friends.
Yes.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Under the stars.
Yeah.
There's nobody judging me. You don't have this kind of an apartment or this kind of a car or this kind of a house or da-da-da-da-da. Right?
Totally. So, like I think all of this comes down, like, I wrote on my little notepad I wrote, take responsibility, right?
Yes.
Now, I feel like the main theme of this episode, I feel like the main theme not only of this
episode.
Of this life, brothers and sisters.
Dude, it is just an episode.
Is really, it is. Is taking responsibility. Like, okay, Lily, Bridget, imagine a world, and I've talked about this before, taking responsibility. This is just this is just a small example. Imagine a world where we, as we're sitting talking here right now, there's like 10 million other people, right, that are just tapped in, that are just like all about it, all tuned in.
Okay.
So we have 10 million people on the same page.
Got it.
And then we're like, listen, that lawn that you have in front of your house that just like stays green, that you like waste like 30 gallons like a week on, like, you know, maybe more, you know what I mean? Like, what if instead of like wasting all of that water just to keep a little bit of green on your front porch or whatever, like, why don't we use that same water and like plant some seeds? Why don't we make it mandatory as it is for you to pay your taxes for these 10 million people? It is that mandatory that, you know, the same idea, that same like, oh, gotta pay your taxes. No. Gotta grow some vegetables, right? Gotta like use my water and irrigate it in a good way, right? Gotta understand that my lawn is an extreme waste of water. Like, why do I have my lawn? So I can look prettier than my neighbor? So my house can look better than my neighbor's? So I can get an appraisal for my house $100,000 higher than it would be without a lawn? What? Okay, so then we take these 10 million people. We're like, listen, you're wasting a bunch of water on your lawns. Not only are you doing that, if we're wasting a bunch of water on our lawns, the whole point where we have a lawn is to look pretty. Our house is to look pretty, so we understand that that's stupid. So then wait, if we don't care about our houses looking pretty, why do we care about the clothes that we are wearing? Like, why do I care if I have, like, you know, a brand name? Like, why do I care if I look pretty? Right? Do you know what I mean?
Listen, like, all everybody wants to do is be loved. okay?
Totally.
Okay, forget about the house and the mortgage and the lawn.
Thank you. That's what I'm saying.
This is the only thing that matters on the planet is being loved and understood, okay?
Yes.
And so if you think about, okay, why does this person care about all these things? Really, like, go into that person's mind as a guy or a woman or a family living in this house, okay? We're being concerned that we're going to be judged on for having these things.
Right.
And, you know, but at the root of everything is just to be embraced.
Totally.
And you are your own sort of, like, barometer for that.
Right. Absolutely.
You can live in that world. We don't really know why that guy wants his lawn that way.
Totally.
Okay?
Totally.
Who knows? Maybe there could be some weird thing where, you know, they grew up in a family living on a dirt thing, and he loves his grass, and he wants to have it so green because he never had water his whole life, and he had to play in dirt, okay?
Yeah.
And for that, that's an exception for that person. It's like, go ahead and spend your money on the water and waste a little bit of the water.
Yeah.
For him, it's not a waste.
Right, right. Absolutely.
So we don't want to project why it is that people are doing what they're doing.
I love
that. We don't know.
We don't know.
We don't know.
Totally.
And no matter what, on the whole spectrum of a circle, every piece of the pie, like, every piece has to fit somewhere.
Yes.
There's got to be a part for everybody.
Yes.
So if everybody were as cool as us and as, like, you know, like, connected in the vibration station, then there would be no place.
Right.
We wouldn't be standing out.
Right.
There would
we'd be saying, good job, everyone. Let's keep it up.
We'd just all be in support of one another, and it would be like a hot. We would be living on a different frequency.
We would. Our world would be different.
It would be so different.
We probably wouldn't see a 76 station to the left.
No. But the cool thing about that is then you look at something like that, and it's like, you know what? There's a family that's responsible for that.
Totally.
And that gas station, regardless, you know, it's all something that's, everything's interconnected, So there's still little beautiful kids in that family, and then they've gone on, and then they've had kids, and then they've had kids, and because of 76 and other consumers buying their gas, they've been able to have beautiful lives.
Totally.
Well, how do we know that those people who are, you know, having that life develop some sort of a thing that could help people?
Yeah.
You know, like, it's like, we don't, you know what I'm saying?
Yes,
everything
totally.
Is interconnected.
I love it. Yes.
And so it's our projections of how things are negative and positive that shapes our reality.
Totally.
You know, if you think that everybody who is eating meat is evil because you're a vegetarian, it's like, come on.
Come on, man.
You know, how did that person might have a disease and they need to eat meat.
Yeah.
So don't know. You just don't know
until
you're really, like, in somebody else's shoes, standing in their feet, staring out their eyes.
Right.
Feeling what they feel in their heart.
Totally.
Or thinking what they think in their mind. We don't know.
We don't know.
No. So literally, mind your own business.
Mm.
Just take care of yourself.
Yes.
Take responsibility for who you are and your choices, and stop blaming and being a victim. There's nothing worse to me than a victim. Literally.
True.
Honestly,
I couldn't agree more.
Bridget and I talk about this, like, come on.
Right.
Go ahead.
Totally.
Listen to your friends. I invite you to listen to your friends for the day and listen to how much they complain and blaming everybody else for it.
Oh my God. I can't. No.
You know?
Sister Lily, I can't tell you
what's up?
how passionate I feel about that. That ties in all back into reflections, taking responsibility. Lily, when Bridget, myself, and you were, or I'm sorry, Bridget, you and myself, I didn't, do you like that? Bridget, myself, and you,
mm-hmm.
No, I'm just kidding. We were all talking earlier before the show, and we were talking about how understanding that everybody else is a reflection of us takes great responsibility.
Yes.
When we are the victim, when we are, oh, woe is me, we don't allow that part of ourself to come out. When we're, even as something as, like, getting in a car accident, even, like, if you get rear-ended, you still take responsibility for creating that in your reality. You don't just, well, this person, you know, I can't stand when, like, people, and, like, I know that's even bad, like, I can't stand, because then that's my own personal reflection of, like, right? But, like, it truly, like, it just, it makes me, like, just, when people are, like, you know, throw a middle finger because they, like, cut someone off, like, dude, such a low vibration, like, blow a kiss, like, cut someone off, and, like, you're, like, dude, it's fine, Like, you're good. Like, throw the peace sign, dude. You know what I mean? Like just throw them a smile.
Yeah,
like,
but that's not also that person's situation.
That's true.
You have to understand.
That's totally, yes.
They're a product of their environment. And
you're
all
totally
those energies.
Right.
When I lived in Oregon and I came back to Los Angeles, I remember I was like in my Chevelle and I was cruising down the street and I was like waving people like, yeah, go ahead. Go in front of me. Yeah. Like, super nice, okay? Within like a month, I was literally like flipping the finger.
Totally.
And honking the horn. Road rage galore.
So true.
But when I came back, my girlfriend was like, oh my God, you're so nice and so like lovely. And I thought, yeah, because you know what? I've just come from a place that was like accepting.
Right.
Right?
It's totally
and
true.
And in terms of a reflection, the most thing that I could depart on anybody is just be yourself.
Yes.
Whatever that is, be yourself.
And don't be scared of it.
Yeah,
and don't be scared of it.
Don't be afraid of it.
That's a big one.
You know, don't be afraid of it. Embrace it. And if you can, if you think it's in your scope of reality, just do the best you can to be the best that you are every single day.
Yes.
Help when you see that there's an opportunity.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Don't just look at it and then walk on by.
Thank you.
Yeah, help.
I couldn't agree more. Go on.
No, I was just going to say, we all have so much. If you really look at our lives and our personal freedoms and everything else, we have so much to impart on other people. Like, every day you can make a difference
in
somebody's
life. It's our responsibility.
Every day.
Yes.
Every day you can.
Yes.
Whether it's saying hi to somebody and giving them an extra smile. You know what I mean? Put your own shit aside.
Totally.
Stop being an asshole and be nice. You know what I mean?
Just like once a day doing something for someone else.
It's so big.
If you see a flower on the ground,
it goes such a long way.
Go do it.
You know, give it to someone. Go give a stranger a hug.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you so very much for sharing such a wonderful 50, now 51 minutes. Guys, thank you so much, Lily. Such a blessing. Such a pleasure. You're such a bright, vibrant individual, and you have inspired many along with myself. Bridget, I love you with all of my heart. Thank you so much for coming on the show. You're such a bright, vibrant individual as well. Such a beautiful energies in this studio. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm your host, Davey Crockett. This is Dave's Good Vibration Station. We want to remind you to constantly be sending love, light, happiness, joy, and laughter. Thank you guys so much. This is Chances Are Good. Who am I? See you next week. Always love.
Cancer, the story narrator, the conflict instigator, the one they call the mind. Make them face the mirror. Who am I? Repeat it like a mantra until ego throws a tantrum and gets booted out this mansion. And now there's no more question. I am that I am essence before the manifested of the sun, earth, and fleshes. I am his total presence. If all of life's a painting, then I am is this canvas. Prior to the brushstrokes, consciousness is mirror smoke. Who's the one that wants to know? I will go when ego goes. Am I a phenomenal? Hollow whole finumeral. You see the tight conundrum, cause it's both sides of the pendulum. Subjectively observing, creating this momentum. The I am that tennis match. Love to love, the place is packed. But all the games are just an act. The ego squatting in your flat, screaming, where's the owner at? He doesn't hear an answer back. So he thinks that he is that body, mind, vehicle. I am is ethereal, fueling all materials. Totally invisible, so go beyond the physical. Who am I? The mystical. Who said that? The ego still follow to that high.